This is the 7-day intensive seminar, School of the Master, with the workshop following Lecture 6. And the daily workshop 2, this is our second day, we play with our stem cells. I visualize my stem cells as little white bubbles squirting out from behind every organ, action, and function of my body. I visualize each of the billions of stem cells born new daily, eagerly looking for something to do and some path to follow. I visualize each stem cell as a genie out of a magic lantern, my body, asking, "What is your command, Master?" Now I think up things for my stem cells to do. Okay, now, let's begin with, I visualize my stem cells as little white bubbles squirting out from behind every organ, action, and function of my body. Irene, Nurse Irene, Lady Irene, how big is a cell? That is a stem cell. How big is a stem cell? How big is a cell in the body? How big is it? Can you give an illustration what it compared to? What?
I would need a microscope.
No, but you would say it's tinier than the head of a pin or something like that?
Okay. It is, yeah.
It is.
Much smaller
than the head of a pin. Well, you mean to say that then if you had the tip of a pin, is it as small as the tip of a pin? How many would fit on the tip of a pin, if you were to give a thought?
Maybe at least a million.
A million cells would fit on the tip of a pin. Now that is something, isn't it? So just imagine, you see, it's not so strange that 10,000 stem cells would be born out of the brain matter and come forth in the body. Now, a million cells... 10,000, that's kind of not very much, you know, when you're thinking of a volume. It's a million, isn't it? I mean, it's something else again. Now, can you visualize that? No, you can't. Okay, now, what did Irene complain? She says, I would have to have a microscope to even begin to see them. But, Irene... You now have that microscope, and you're looking in that microscope. Tell us what you see. You're looking at one stem cell in the microscope. What do you see?
I see a bubble of joy.
You see a bubble of joy. Yeah. How do you define a bubble of joy?
It's like a soap.
A soap bubble? Yeah. What kind of soap?
Rainbow colors in it.
Oh, I see. It's a impure soap.
No, it's fun soap.
You see, if you have a white stem cell or a pure stem cell that is undifferentiated, it has no direction to it yet, it is also uncolored, it is whatever, you know, it just has no otherness to it. You follow me?
Ask me how I see it, so that's my
Well, you're looking at my cells. Now, okay, now Irene tells me this is how she sees it, and Irene has looked through microscopes, and she has seen things through microscopes. Okay, now, this is Irene's point of view, and I want to take no responsibility for it whatsoever. So, Irene, tell us more about this cell that you see on the tip of a pin, which is one of 1 million of its brothers and sisters. Now, this is one little cell, and you see it as like a bubble of soap, and you see it with a rainbow of colors around it.
I see all the colors reflected in it, yes.
Just like what?
Reflected in it, in this bubble.
Oh, reflected in the surface of the cell.
Right.
Okay.
Inside
the cell is nothing. So you're looking at what on the outside of the cell? What is a cell made up of? We talked about that many times. Ellen, what is the cellmate? Sylvia?
Atoms.
Huh?
Atoms.
The cell is made up of, the cell is many, many, many atoms, of course. And each atom is made up of, I should have said atom. Each atom is made up of what?
Electrons,
protons,
and neutrons.
Okay, so now her atom, I mean her cell, as she says, is empty. But it cannot really be empty. It must have atoms in it. But now, are these atoms visible or invisible? They're invisible.
But you see the circumference of the cell, and it's not round, but it's roundish, and it's changing its form, and it's very much alive.
You're saying that the cell movement is alive.
Yeah, when you look at it, it seems alive. Yeah.
Rex, when did you hire him to be your doorman? Okay, the cell is, you say, an active living cell by the atoms that are in it. And what is this? Does this correspond to anything you're seeing?
It's just an appearance, what I just explained, but there's nothing in it.
You're saying it is like a big bubble that has nothing in it.
It looks like there is nothing in it.
Yeah, well, that's right, looks like, yeah. And are all atoms visible?
No.
Well, there should be. If you bring it down to...
How can scientists tell us that atoms are not visible if they cannot see an atom that... It's not visible.
Because an atom consists mostly of a void.
A what?
Of void.
Emptiness.
Emptiness.
Yeah. Okay, but that's not my question. My question is, if an atom is invisible, how can a scientist see it?
It is not invisible.
Well, no, we were saying it was invisible. Magnify its invisibility enough, you see it's visible.
Then it's as a visitor, not
in. No, that's a different way of looking at it, but that's okay. Yes?
The atom moves because it has these three factors in.
An atom moves because it has what?
The electrons.
Oh, electrons and protons and neutrons in it?
Yes.
Oh, in other words, what is it in an atom that moves? Please? Huh?
These three.
Louder. What?
The three components we'd like to mention now.
Electron, neutron, and proton. What is the exterior of an atom?
The electrons.
The electron. It's the fluff, remember?
Yeah.
And what is the electron, neutron, proton? What is the proton?
Isn't the charge different?
What's the neutron?
The neutron is the
nucleus. It's the neutral aspect of it, and the proton is then doing the dancing, isn't it?
Yeah.
The proton is in constant motion.
Right.
And so she has a million of these cells on the tip of a pin, and in each cell. She has how many atoms? An infinite number of atoms. And each one of these atoms are dancing and moving around inside themselves, but not necessarily outside. Now, why would an atom have to be visible to be existing?
It doesn't have to be visible to exist.
It doesn't have to be, yeah. So you could have invisible atoms, couldn't you? We do have, yeah,
for our
current vision, unless we have magnification. Okay, now, what happens when we begin to understand what an atom is and what a cell is? What makes a cell different stem cell from a differentiated cell, say a stem cell from a brain cell or an eye cell or a cell that does something different. You know.
One is differentiated and one is undifferentiated.
One is differentiated and the other is undifferentiated. Now, why and how does that happen, that they're differentiated and undifferentiated?
Thinking process. The thinking process about these cells.
The cell thinks about itself?
No, what we think about the cell.
Well, now, does this...
There's communication in a cell. A cell has receptors from the brain, so-called...
Well, then you're saying communication with the brain.
Well,
whether the mind
cell is able to receive information.
Is a cell one as all knowledge, one as all the mind? And so it's sort of enmeshed, it lives in the intelligence.
Yes.
Now, where does the intelligence come from?
That was always there.
The intelligence is in the universal mind, right? And we are the universal mind. We are part of it, if you want to say that. We're not really. We're all of it. But we are aware that we use the universal mind and are the universal mind. Okay, now, does a cell, a stem cell, have the capacity to move and act and think on its own? Does it have intelligence?
Yes.
Does it have a brain?
Yes.
It has a brain?
No.
I asked, does it have a brain?
No, it has no brain, because then it would be different.
That's right. So it has intelligence, but it doesn't have a brain.
Right.
Now, the intelligence that it has, where does it come from?
It's the universal intelligence.
The intelligence that it has comes out of the universal
mind.
All right. Now, why does the universal mind tell one stem cell to be with the eyes and be with the ears and be with something else, and others to be somewhere else? And why does one stem cell have information from the universal mind that you want to be sick?
Has not the information to be sick, because then it's already differentiated. But when
it receives it, before it receives it, it's a stem cell.
Before it receives it.
And when it receives it, how does it receive it?
It's through the thought.
Through
our brain.
Through what thought?
Through the human thought.
Do you think that the other cells of the brain or the body have an effect on the stem cells that are born?
Yes.
And they interact with them and they tell them this is the role?
If I don't tell them different,
yes.
If you don't tell them different, that's right. So if you tell your stem cells different, whatever it is you want to tell them, they will act based upon what their neighboring cells are doing, or what the consciousness is that they're living in. The consciousness might be, I am very sick, or we're going through the epidemic right now, or whatever things that you want to say. And they don't have to do that. They don't have to do that. They can be like people in a bomb shelter. The bombs came down and messed up the town, and everybody's dead. And the people come out of the bomb shelter and they've got everything that they want to use. There's grocery stores full of groceries and this and that and the other thing. And no other person, just themselves. Now, what are they going to do? Are they going to panic? Or are they going to say, okay, let's decide how we're going to exist and continue existing and live and take what we have and plan a new society, you know? Because there's no other people. And all they know is a society. Now, who's going to be their troublemaker and who's going to be their mentor? The mentor is going to be the person who says, hey, let's all sit together and see what kind of a community we'd like, what kind of a world we'd like. and then a few of them come in, oh, it's no good, it's no good, and nothing will be, we might as well die now, we're going to die anyhow, because we can never survive this, you know, the old dooms people, you know. That's the way it is in our brain, and that's the way it is with our stem cells also, because they hear the doomsayers give out their unhappiness, and they hear the balanced people giving out, hey, let's work together and accomplish something, you know, let's do something. Now, that is the principle, as far as I would see it, how our stem cells work. You have a comment?
No, I just thought about the computer. It's just about the same.
Go ahead.
The computer, we know the stuff coming in today, and so you need a virus program. That's like the good programming and cleans it out again and stuff.
All right, now let's look at the computer for a moment. You have a computer, and your computer is virus-free, bug-free, perfect in every respect. And you take out the programs that you have, bug-free programs, and you use them. And your computer does exactly what you want it to do. Then you get curious, and you go in the internet, and you open yourself up to people who might be not free of viruses. And so they want to give you their charming things. They want to send you their charming statements and so forth. And you think, isn't that charming? And it says on the bottom that this has been checked for virus. Well, it may or may not be. That's on the bottom of everything. Now, what are you going to do? Are you going to open up everything just because it looks interesting? Are you going to open up these things? And as you open these up, you open yourself up to somebody else. Are you going to... Here you are. You are a computer. Pure, pure, pure. You are so pure, you just are pure. And so you take yourself and you go and visit a hospital. And in the hospital... Everybody's got viruses of one sort or another, and you feel sorry for this person, and you feel sorry for that person, and so you touch them, and you say, there, everything's okay, this is this, you're okay, but you're the computer, and you touch these viruses, and you're not helping them, and you're not helping yourself. What do you want from your computer? What do you want from your stem cell? What do you want from your pure computer that just is off the factory, clean as a whistle, free of... And nobody's able to get into your computer because you're not online. You're not online. And you say, well, what's the use of having a computer not be online? Well, you can write letters or whatever if you wish. But you're not online. No. What type of a computer are you? Are you your original purity and integrity? Before you get online? Are you your original purity? And are you the original design? Are you the original potential thing? And are you absolutely perfect? And then, what do? You go to your webmaster and you say, I'd like to go online, I'd like to do this. And he says, okay. And you say, well, I have Norton here as a virus program. What do you think? Oh, I think Norton's terrible. You should get McAfee. And so you have to say, well, I have McAfee on here. Well, McAfee is terrible too because they don't cover everything. And well, then you should have this. And they name a few others that you never heard of. And pretty soon he says, oh, I wouldn't put any program on there because none of them are really any good. And you won't run into any bacteria. It'll be a strange thing if you run into bacteria. Just don't open up things from people you don't know. You know. And even if you open up things from people you know, the people you know might have been with somebody that they don't know. It's just like a woman who says, I don't have syphilis, I don't have gonorrhea, I don't have sexual disease, and she's been out with four or five men, and these four or five men, they told her, I don't have that. Well, they don't know. They might have it, and they might pass it along, you know? And there are people that are called carriers who carry it and do not show evidence of it themselves. So now, to have any relationship with anybody at all in the world, you know, in any respect, you're opening yourself up for a virus. So it means that you have to cease to be social. You have to cease to have any relationship with anybody. Now, What does your original purity and integrity do? Your original purity and integrity sets you up so that you are guided from within to do all the things that you want to do. And as you're guided from within to do all the things you want to do, everything works out in perfect order. Everything works out in perfect... Could you, if you said this, which I know you don't do, but it would be very nice if you did, could you do this, but I know you don't do it, but it would be nice if you did do it, could you do this? Could you say, with everything that you do, I surround you with my pure white light of love, all my ways are peace, all my paths are pleasantness. Could you surround every communication that comes in on your computer with your pure white light of love, saying, I surround you with my pure white light of love, all the communications I have are pure and beautiful, my original purity and integrity is surrounding you and brings, lets you in. I don't even think of opening something that isn't it. It says absolute ends, and I think, oh, that's from Sylvia, how wonderful. And so I open it up and I find out it's not from Sylvia. Someone has taken her email name and has put their package on it and sent it out. Now, who can you believe? Well, maybe you have to stay off the internet. Or, do you think I should have doubted that Sylvia would be sending through something on just her name? Sylvia always puts something in the subject line, doesn't she? She always says something in the subject line. And this is what computer people tell us. If you always have something in the subject line, at least they know that it is not something that's just bulk sent out. So there are many little things that they tell us and they advise us about. But how do you really take care of your beautiful white stem cells? How do you take care of your original purity and integrity in your computer? How do you take care of your little baby who is coming into the world? You know, Ellen was telling me about different women and how absolutely insane they are. Absolutely, absolutely, absolutely. These women go into the grocery store with two-day-old children or younger, and they go shopping in the grocery store, and they pick up foods, and they put them down, and they set the baby on the counter, or they let some person hold the baby while they're counting out their money and stuff like that. And a two-day-old baby that hasn't built up any immunities at all. Now, you know, nothing ever happens to those kids. Nothing ever happens to those kids because that mother is too stupid to think something's going to happen to those kids. Hey, that's my kid, it's okay. She doesn't say, I surround the kid with my pure white light of love. She says, that's my kid. You know, he's a toughie. He's, you know, a real tough, tough, tough. And he's wonderful. And, you know, nothing happens to the kids. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? And it's true. It's true. When we worry too much, mothers who bundle their children so severely to keep the cold away from them lose their children through death, through colds and stuff. We have to really be careful. You see, that's what this is all about. All right, Heinz, what would you do to protect your computer from viruses? Heinz would say, protect is not in my vocabulary. I don't believe in that word. Protect doesn't exist as a word. When I have a computer, I wrap it in my pure white light of love, and it is living its original purity and integrity, and it is just super, and it is wonderful, and would you please get off my back with all your silliness about imperfection and problems. Anything else more to add to that? But this is how we want to do it. This is how the lady with her two-day-old baby, and sometimes even one-day-old, but two- or three-day-old baby, I've seen them sometimes myself in the supermarket, and I've seen them also in the doctor's office. Sometimes they come into the doctor's office, and the kid's only a day old, and they're carrying the kid into the doctor's office because they have to go and sign up for some medicine or something like that. And they set the kid on the counter. It's just a little squirrel, you know. And they set him down there. And everybody says, "How old is it?" You know. And that's just a couple hours old. A couple hours, they let you out of the hospital with a kid like that. And I had it at home, you know. You know, or I had it in the bathroom. You know, it's so fun. And these kids, they survive beautifully, wonderfully, because their mother doesn't worry them to death. It's amazing. Okay. Heinz? Gregor? Anybody? You have anything to add?
No.
So, Ellen, what kind of virus protection are you going to have on your computer?
I surround my computer with my pure white light of love and know that all its ways are peace and pleasantness.
I thought maybe you were going to have Heinz sit on it for you. Okay. What kind of virus do you protect yourself from, Ingeborg?
With my affirmations that it is whole and perfect.
And you think that works?
Yes.
You think that works? You think it works?
Yes, I know.
You think it works?
I know it works.
Ah, yeah, mein Gott. Yeah, you know it works. You see, be affirmative about what you're doing. Because there's a lot of people in this world who think they've got the answer. And they haven't proven it to themselves. So we want to be very careful about that. Okay, now, I visualize my stem cells as little white bubbles squirting out from behind every organ, action, function of my body. Rochelle, what stem cells would be squirting out from behind your heart, or around your heart, or in your heart? Well, what kind?
Stem cells.
Yeah, stem cells.
Pure stem cells.
Stem cells that are the original purity and integrity. Huh? Now, is that the way yours are? Is that the way yours are, Ingeborg? How about you? Is that the way? The billions of them?
Eternally. No, infinite.
The infinite number. Yours?
Perfect.
No problems.
No.
Yours?
Perfect.
Yours?
Perfect.
Yours?
Perfect.
Rex, yours?
Perfect.
Great. He is. And you, little love. I haven't had this much attention from you for a long time. So, this is what we want to do. Now, let's look at the second point here. I visualize each of the billions of stem cells born new daily, eagerly looking for something to do and a path to follow. Heinz, give me three sentences, each different, of what you would, or two sentences, what you would, something to do and a path to follow. What is a sentence with something to do and a sentence with a path to follow for your stem cells? What would you tell your stem cells?
I'm whole and perfect. I'm always in divine order. I am myself and having fun.
And that's what you would tell your stem cells to do?
Yep.
And you think that by doing that, that's enough?
Yep.
Now, what makes you think that that is?
Because that puts everything in the right action.
I would like you to come up with the phrase that I'd like you to come up with. Oh my! What do you think you should do? You told her, huh? What do you think?
Role model.
Well, that's what you said. Now, what did you say again? What did you say that you were telling your stem cells of something to do and a path to follow? Say what you said.
I'm divine order. I'm peace.
All right. I like me. I'm divine order and peace. What has that got to do with the stem cell? You are the stem cell's
role model.
Right. So you're exactly correct.
Yep.
Gregor, something new. What would you say to your stem cells and to your giving them something to do and a path to follow?
Say, I like me, I'm divine order, I am peace.
And you think they would pay attention to that. You think they would get excited with the enthusiasm you have on that, huh?
Yep.
Heinz, yep. How should he say it?
Light me, I am divine order, I am peace.
All right.
Gregor, can you say it?
Light me, I am divine order, I am peace.
Now, Gregor, can you say it so they can hear it over in Tucumcari, New Mexico?
Here's one of those things. Like me, I am divine order, I am peace.
Now, Gregor, that's good. But you know what I would do? Ellen, you're a silly lady. Ellen, Gregor is going to speak to Tucumcari, New Mexico. And he's going to, I like me, I'm divine order, I'm peace. What's he doing? He's picking up his cell telephone, talking to them in Tucumcari, New Mexico.
Oh.
Ellen, get with it. Get modern, right? Wake up. This is a new age. We don't need megaphones anymore. We don't need to shout our heads off.
No.
Right?
Right.
So call him again now.
Stop.
Oh, my. Telepathically, huh? Good for you. I tell you. See, always coming up with something new. Something sort of to flap our wings with here. Ellen?
Yes.
Something to do and a path to follow. Well, you're telling your brand new stem cells something to do and a path to follow. If you have to wait so long, they're going to be dead.
I'm divine order and peace.
Ellen, why don't you say something like, I live in my ideal spirit, mind, and body, and I just love pizza. I think that hot fudge sundaes with chocolate on top and stuff like that and bananas and cherries around it, you know, almost like a banana split, is just one of the greatest things to eat. And I love to eat delicious food. I love having wonderful company. I love being with my grandchildren who are always perfect and always understanding and always love. I love to be with my husband. I love to walk with Elias down the streets and down the beach here in San Diego as we did one evening. I just love doing these things. Remember?
I'm surrounded by harmonious beings and
harmonious your turn comes. Yeah. Okay, fantastic. All right, Lady Sylvia.
I'm independently wealthy.
That's all, huh? Now, that's what you're going to say to something to do and a path to follow?
Yes.
Every
organ, action, and function of my body is perfect.
That's getting better. You're warming up. Good. The thing is, all of us should be so excited about the possibility that we can speak to our stem cells and tell them things. We should be bubbling over with ideas. We should be saying, I am so happy, I'm so good, it's so neat. Come on, you guys, we're going to go to the beach. Come on, you guys, we're going to go swimming today. Come on, you guys, we're going to fly in a balloon. We're going to take off and look at things, and it's great. Come on, you guys, come on. We're going to go and see my daughter in Mallorca. We're going to see my son in Placido del Rey. We're going to go here and go there, and Placido Domingo, and whatever else his name, the tenors are going to sing for us, and personal, too. Come on, let's go and hear him. Wow. Oh, wow, live.
Let's dance. Let's go dancing.
Thanks a lot. Okay, and thank you. How about some enthusiasm out of you for something to do and a path to follow?
All stem cells, big and tall, small and tiny. Listen to me.
Small and tiny. Yeah.
You have my permission to dance through life with happiness and be alert, alive, enthusiastic, whole and perfect, of course. What else?
Rich and healthy and good looking.
Independently wealthy.
Yeah.
Happy without reason.
Go crazy.
Yeah.
But that takes practice. That takes practice. You go crazy with these things. You think of all these crazy, wonderful possibilities, and then you demonstrate them in your life. When you are silly, 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 and people look at you and they say, "What a marvelous person. I feel so good around them. They're like a child. They're so wonderful to be with." They are always saying, "Why do you like Robin Williams movies?" Because he's crazy. Because he plays the role of an idiot, but not really. He's an intelligent idiot, you know. And he's doing all these neat things, you know, like Gladfire's wife. What was that?
Doubtfire.
Say it.
Miss Doubtfire.
Miss Doubtfire. Okay, Doubtfire, yeah. And so, what did you like about it? Because he was so good at playing it, and he never forgot that he was a man.
Only when he left the bathroom door open.
Well, that too. Which is possible. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Or when he picked up the toilet seat, you know. Yeah. Okay. Ingeborg, what are you going to tell us about something to do and a path to follow for your stem cells?
I say to my stem cells, "I am your master, and I ask you to do the following. Go and check out in my brain everything that is perfect, and all the organs, all the joints and so on. Look over them and move them and that everything is in perfect order."
Very good. I think you'd like yourself a little better if instead of saying to your stem cells, "I'm your master," you say to them, "You're my genies, and I know that you're here to do whatever I dream of doing. Now let's go crazy and dream of wild, wonderful things. Let's party, 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 you know. Let's party at being healthy, party at being wealthy, party at being joyous and free now all the time, you know. That's kind of good stuff, right?" But
yes.
You did a good start, Ingeborg. You did a good start. Now, I expect you to do it all day long.
Yes.
Okay. Now, we're saving the last for best, the best for last, and we're going to have such a show of magic and enthusiasm and fire. She's even going to sit up for that. And she's going to tell us something that she tells her stem cells to do and the path for them to follow. Okay, you've had all this preparation, all of them leading up to the master.
Hello, beautiful stem cells.
Lovely, lovely, lovely.
You are my ideal stem cells. You shine with bright white light and create everything perfect.
That's great. That's great. That's great. That's great. Now, this is what you want. This is what you want. Now, this is her first time out of the box with that. And she did magnificent. But the thing is, be yourself. Just be yourself and let go. And really, stop and think of it, all of you. Was she talking to her stem cells?
Yes.
Do you think they heard her?
Yep.
Can you see how much love she gave to them? But yet, she gave them authority. Did you notice?
Mm-hmm.
She spoke with authority like a boss. She spoke like she knew how to talk to employees and people, you know? Not to be pushed around, not to in any way be intimidated. Just say, "We're going out to have a great day today. Come on, gang, let's go." She did not expect any of them not to come, you know? That's why teachers who have trouble with their classes is because the teachers have trouble with themselves. They don't believe that the kids will follow them. And all the teacher has to do is say, "Kids, I got a surprise for you. Come on now, let's all line up outside the door of the classroom here, and then I'm going to show you a surprise that'll tickle your funny bones." And they'll all run outside there so fast they have to see what this crazy teacher is going to show them, because she's been so sedate up to now. And though she opens the door, and she's standing up on top of the desk, and she says, "All right, Johnny, turn on the music there." So Johnny turns on the music, and there she is dancing a hat dance for them on top of the table. And they think, what a crazy teacher! We love her! You know, how wonderful! We love. And then she says, all right, now everybody dance with me. And she's still up on top of the table. And she has her skirt to flare out, you know, and play the role and dance and have a good time. What do you think those kids are going to think? They're going to talk about that all day long, and they're going to go home and tell their parents about it. Our teacher is crazy, you know. She was dancing on the table. Dancing on the table? Yes. She was teaching us the hat dance. She was? Oh, you are so lucky. Do you think she'd have an adult class? We like to learn how to do the hat dance, too. But, you see, think that it's going to be positive, that it is positive, that it's fun, and then it is. And that's what it's all about, isn't it? My goodness, does time go. So here we go now to our music time. Did we do everything? No. I visualize each stem cell as a genie out of the magic lantern, my body, asking, what is your command, Master? I think we said that. Now I think up things for my stem cells to do. So I would like all of you to think up things for your stem cells to do. As you can see, we don't really have time enough in all of our seminar hours and seminar programs to tell you all the things and do all the things, but it's fun to do. It's fun to do. So tonight I want each one of you, before you go to bed, to write up 100 things for your stem cells to do. What's that? 100 things for your stem cells to do. And turn it in tomorrow morning at our 3-hour meditation time. Okay? Thank you. And then, let's see, now let's think up things for your stem cells to do. Okay, now we will prepare for our music time by shutting this off and starting again.